Pastor Irene Monroe is tired. A Black pastor in Boston, she's been conducting Zoom funerals, often two a day, since last March 25th, seeing firsthand the COVID data that shows communities of color are the hardest hit. She repeats that well-worn saying, "When America catches a cold, the Black community gets pneumonia," and adds, "When America gets COVID, more Black Americans die." And Pastor Monroe says it reminds her of the AIDS epidemic of the 1980s. Pastors like her knew way before a government report in 1986 that the face of the AIDS epidemic in communities of color would be heterosexual women. Today, it's also Black heterosexual women, but in both times, she says, the traditional Black church is often turning its back, especially on other victims, those in the LGBTQ community. Pastor Monroe, what has this past year been like?
You've depicted so adequately that I am tired. You know, one part of pastoral care, you know, it's helping people through this valley of anxiety, fear, and death. With me doing funerals, you want to do it where it maintains dignity and respect for their loved ones, but they zoom in, but yet there is an incompleteness absolutely about it.
Mm. You said to me that you serve people who are largely, you didn't say who largely feel uncomfortable in mainstream churches. You said who are made to feel somewhat uncomfortable in mainstream churches. What do you mean?
I get what's now the unchurched, and some of them wish not to be, but certainly the LGBTQ community. And I need to say this, within that particular demographic group, we are not getting an accurate number, not only in terms of the community, but of trans women and men who are dying. But I also get the homeless. And because of the religious landscape changing, I'm getting the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, and I'm also getting millennials. So again, I get folks who, for a sundry of reasons, are not in the traditional church.
We've talked about the nuns. They're not affiliated with anybody, you know. But with you, I mean, needing something in the end. As you said, in the 1980s, we had a president who didn't even utter the word AIDS until years after people were dying. So there's some familiarity there. It largely targeted gay men, which is why people were so shocked in 1986 when that report came out showing that it was heterosexual Black women who were dying in large numbers. Can you remind us why that was?
Absolutely. First of all, when AIDS first came out, we didn't have a name for it. And then finally, when they were depicting the AIDS epidemic, it was believed to be the province of just white gay men. But because, again, the way in which, you know, health disparities run in our country, Black LGBT folks were just not in the data. But those of us who were, you know, on the ground, pastoring, we were funeralizing these folks. And because of a culture, what we call being on the down low, we knew of sisters that were dying, you know, of the AIDS epidemic, had nothing to do with blood transfusion.
Yeah, well, let's explain something you just said for those who haven't heard the phrase, the life of the down low. Men in the African-American community, their wives did not know, were practicing also a gay lifestyle. So they were passing it on to their wives. It's hard to even explain how much shame there was around this disease at the time. You know, people were hiding their dying relatives in a back room, so no one would see.
That's right. Or if they weren't, what they were doing, they would, I remember one of the elders of my church back then, and she said, "Oh, my son died of consumption." And I'm saying, "What is consumption?" So it would be certain types of code words.
Well, so the shame of the Black men in particular, I'm almost thinking that maybe you see a parallel now with the people that you're seeing who are trans. We thought that the church became more comfortable over the decades. Are you saying it hasn't?
No, you know, it's very, very interesting. We still have very few what we call traditional Black churches that is open to LGBTQ parishioners. And so some of the similarities are like this. You can't go and be funeralized in a lot of the Black churches here, or for that matter, even be funeralized in funeral piles. At the beginning of this pandemic, there were missing bodies. Some of the folks said, you know, they would have a home going, a Zoom home going, and they would say, "Well, I know my loved one is dead. We haven't been able to recover the body. It might be in a refrigerator somewhere. If you remember when it rolled out, it was just pandemonium. Now, I thought I was prepared for that because I have done funerals for 9/11 where you had missing bodies. I've done funerals that family has not gathered. And it really troubled me that just as there was a stigma for AIDS in certain communities, Black and immigrant communities, it's a stigma having this pandemic infect their lives.
And by the way, since we raised the notion of living the down-low lifestyle, we should say that there are many historic reasons for that, going back to slavery and the emasculation of Black men. But here we are talking about the resulting shame. And as you say, the second largest group of Black Americans dying from COVID, second after Black women, is trans youth and adults. You say that when the data comes out, this is going to be worse than any subgroup within the African American community.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in that rubric is runaways. And so a lot of the trans people that, at least that I know of, are young adults who have run away from their homes. They have created a kind of community similar as folks during the AIDS epidemic. And so only their, you know, friends, that little community that they reside in is how we do a kind of proper homegoing for that person. A lot of the young kids that I have done, I'm certain that their parents don't know that maybe their child has transitioned.
Yeah. And by the way, why today would cisgender, heterosexual African-American women be the number one group affected by COVID-19?
Well, I mean, we don't have a good survival rate in general when you look at the social determinants of health. I mean, you have these health disparities, environmental racism. Many of us are on the front line. You know, one of the things you can always count on when we're in a crisis such as a pandemic, the fault lines that existed in society before the pandemic are exacerbated during the crisis.
People talk a lot about the suspicion within the African-American community of the medical establishment because of things like the Tuskegee experiments. But I'm thinking of the African-American female doctor who got COVID-19 and was in a hospital and was using social media to send posts about what she thought was a lack of care. And she was sent home and died of COVID-19. This is a doctor. And the hospital made a tone-deaf apology saying, you know, well, some of our staff were intimidated by her. There's a discrepancy.
Oh, yeah. And it's very glaring. And one of the reasons is they think African-Americans are of a different biology. We've heard stories of medical students believing that our skin is thicker. We've heard that given our life of trial, quote, and tribulations, that when we talk about pain, we can first tolerate it. Or if we're asking for more painkillers, it's because we just simply want to get high. It is the whole idea of othering us, even within the medical field. And it doesn't matter whether you're a doctor, because I'm married to an ER physician. And she can tell you that when she's outside, the same thing that the doctor that just recently died, the same kind of treatment, she gets that. So there's no hierarchy if you are a physician or if you're educated, if you have health care, if you live in the right zip code.
That's Boston's Reverend Irene Monroe. She's been conducting Zoom funerals for members of the Black and LGBTQ community. Also, you know, people just outside of traditional churches. And she is tired. Reverend Monroe, thank you so much for your work.
Thank you tremendously for having me. Stay safe.